Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to come together to fellowship with you, to learn more about you, to grow in knowledge. Father, we want to lift up those who are in the hospital and the nursing homes and that are in shut-ins. Father, we just want to place them and ask for comfort and healing for all of them. Father, we trust you even in these difficult moments. Father, be with Edna and the doctors that are around her. Be with her family, that they may find peace. Lord, be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to worship this morning. Amen and glory to his name, that is for sure. You know, I love this. This is one of my favorite times. You guys know that. I love the My Three. This idea that we pray for the lost in our community because we know that God answers prayers. Just point blank, God answers prayers. Sometimes he answers them in ways that we don't expect. Sometimes he answers them in ways that at that moment we don't like. But we know that God answers prayers. That when we go to him in prayer, we can have full confidence to go boldly and ask because we know that God will answer. And it's in these moments right here where we take that time to pray for those in our community who don't know Jesus. Because we know there's a lot of people that are lost and hurting in our world around us, that are walking around in darkness, and that are looking for the light. And folks, we are, as Christians, we are the bearers of that light. And it is our job to proclaim that in our words, our actions, and the way that we handle or around other people. So at this moment, let's think of those three people that are in your life that don't know Jesus, and let's lift them up that God may intercede and may call them to be one of theirs. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we all know people that don't know you. Father, it hurts to see them walking around lost in this world, not understanding the joy that comes from you. Father, I pray that we may just become that light in our community, to our family, and to our friends, that we may learn when to speak and learn when to hold our tongue. That, Father, that we may be an example to the world, that they may ask the question, what is different, and that they may want to know who you are. Father, we know that you're the one who draws them in, and you're the one who saves them. And Father, we get to partner with you in that. Father, we lift up each one of these people that are on our hearts and minds to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worship his name.
Good morning. Well, at this time, this is the first Sunday of the month, so that means we have children's church this morning. So for all the little ones going up to third grade from three to third grade, if you want to see Miss Ann back here, we've got a special program right on back there. Head on out that way. That way, up that way. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got it. Got everybody? All right. Well, good morning, church. It feels good to be back after last week. It feels great. And for those who are wondering, it was no vacation. I was traveling and I was in meetings all throughout the weekend for the denomination. And it was loaded. So I am glad to be back. I want to thank Perry, though, for taking the time to take the pulpit to bring a message in my absence. It's good to know that there's always someone willing to step up and that the church continues on. And I want to welcome our guests this morning as well. Thank you guys for coming out. We're glad that you're here. I also want to welcome those online in the radio. We're glad that you could join us. And I love hearing from you guys as well. For those of you who are online in the radio, we love hearing from you guys. And one thing I want you guys to know is this morning we are taking communion, okay? And if you don't have your communion cups yet, please raise your hand. I've got people lined up ready to go. So we need a couple communion cups here, and it'll be at the end of service. But I want to get that to you guys. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise, to worship you. Father, may we take this time this morning to examine ourselves, to examine our prayer lives. Father, that we may learn to come to you boldly, that we may speak boldly, and that we may trust that you are right there with us. Father, we know that you take care of things and you see stuff we don't. Lord, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not mine. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, if you guys haven't figured it out by now, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount pretty much all summer. You know, we've spent a lot of time going through each section and seeing what Jesus is saying and how it applies to our lives. And we're back at it again this morning. But here's the good news for you. We've only got 2 weeks left, and we've gone through the entire Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through the whole thing, and we're getting ready to wrap it up. And it's been a journey. It's been a real journey to go through, and I pray it's been a challenging journey for you. I pray it's something that has drawn you closer, has caused you to examine your own hearts and minds and seen where you are at in your walk with Jesus. Are you reflecting the will of our Father in your life? Or are you working underneath your own understanding and your own way of doing things? Amen. That you take the time to see what Jesus is asking from us. And that we've grown in this time. I know it's been challenging just putting these together. Doing my own self-examination. But as we continue on the Sermon on the Mount this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. For those who want to follow along, but we're going to start off by going over the scripture this morning, starting with verse 7, and it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Verse 8 says, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to things, good things to those who ask him?" Verse 12 says, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them, for this is the law of the prophets." When we look at this passage this morning, the first thing that comes to mind is prayer. You know, prayer, seeking our Heavenly Father, expecting good things from him in prayer. Now, with prayer, we need to remember just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus teaching us how to pray. how we should approach the throne room of God and to pray in such a way that brings glory to our Heavenly Father, that brings honor to God. He taught us that we should pray that His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, I believe He's going even a little bit deeper with it, helping us set our expectations of what happens when we pray. You know, as we've gone through this series, we need to remember that we have spaced this all out over the summer. It's been an interesting time, and we've spaced it out over time. But all of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 would have been done in one teaching. Jesus would have sat down and taught through the whole thing in one teaching. And He wouldn't have probably spread it out quite like we've been doing. But we've been doing it to dive deeper into each area. I want to encourage you all this week to take time to read those three chapters, to read them in one sitting, to go over them, to see it all in one big view. The reason I believe this is so important to do is because if we read this week's scripture on its own, with no other understanding about the previous teachings that Jesus did or what Jesus is about to say next week, we may come to a different conclusion than what God is actually saying. We may miss out on what He's actually trying to teach us. You know, when we take scripture out of context like that, we can get things wrong. It's where different false theologies, false doctrines, and so forth grab hold. You know, next week we're going to talk about how the gate is narrow that leads to life, and the road is wide that leads to destruction. And we're going to talk about false prophets some more. Last time, though, that I was up here, we talked about another piece of misunderstood text in the scripture. In fact, it's often one of the most misunderstood texts, is that little piece where it says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. You know, it's often the go-to piece of advice when we feel attacked or judged, right? Don't you judge me. The Bible says don't do it. But what we discovered as we read through that passage, Jesus wasn't saying that we shouldn't judge or help our brothers and sisters, that we shouldn't point out the flaws in our brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead, He was saying that we should take the time to examine our own hearts and minds before we do it, that we make sure that we don't become hypocrites in that moment, that we take the time to figure out what's going on in our own lives, that we should look and see where our own faults are before we go and point out the faults in our brothers and sisters. You know, it's easy for us to find faults in others' lives. It's easy to find the mistakes in someone else's lives. But if we take the time to examine ourselves and our own hearts, the only way we can get to the fullness of that is to spend time with our Heavenly Father, to spend time in His Word and in prayer. You know, we are called to help others. We are called to help point others to Jesus, and sometimes that requires uncomfortable conversations where we do notice that splinter in our brother's eye, and we help get that out. Yet Jesus warns us at the end of the last passage, in verse 6, it says, don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. He's asking us to use wisdom and discernment when and how to share our faith, to know when to open our mouths and when to shut it. You know, some of us are really good at opening our mouths, aren't we? We're really good at opening our mouths, but we're horrible at keeping it shut. And it gets us in trouble. But then on the other end of the spectrum, some of us are really good at keeping our mouths shut, but we don't speak up when we need to be speaking up. We're not willing to be bold for Christ. We need to learn that it's a balancing act, and it's we're called to do both. And we can find ourselves questioning when and where to do each. And that is part of the reason we're called to pray. We're called to pray to ask for God's wisdom. We're called to pray that and trust that He will answer us and that He will give us those wisdoms in that moments that we need it. Often, when we think of prayer, we go to this idea of meeting our own needs, don't we? You know, we look at it in the same thing. We kind of use prayer often as like a last resort. We're moving through life, everything's going the way we want it, and then boom, we hit a wall. Man, I got to go pray because I don't know which direction to go anymore. You know, when things are not going our way, we like to pray that God may change our circumstances to fit our wants and needs. And when we say change our circumstances, what we're normally actually praying for is that we keep doing exactly what we want. We just don't want the same outcome we've been getting. right? That's what we pray oftentimes. It's not that his will be done. Often we kind of use prayer as this genie in a bottle. You know, we keep it tucked away. If you only had three wishes from a genie, what are you going to do? You're going to tuck it away for a little bit, right? You're going to tuck that away, and you're going to pull it out just when you really need it. And that's what we do. And we think that God is just going to be like this magic genie, and that he's just going to take our wants and our needs, our own hearts and our own minds, and give us exactly what our flesh desires. But yet the Bible teaches us that prayer is between God and man, with an agreement that God's will and purpose be done here on earth. That it's not our wants, not our desires, but God's will and purpose be done here on earth, in our community, and around the world. You know, Jesus taught us a couple of weeks ago that we're to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the idea that we should pray, that our prayer should be shaped more by God's purpose and plan here on earth than our own flesh's desires. That when we go in front of the Father, that it is God's purpose we're praying for. That God would transform our hearts to represent his will around us and through us. That as Christians, we shouldn't be just asking for ourselves. We shouldn't just be praying for ourselves. Don't get me wrong, it's a good thing to ask for strength and wisdom from the Father. But that we need to be praying also. That we need to be asking, searching. We need to be knocking for the gospel to be proclaimed to every tribe, tongue, and nation around the world. That we need to be lifting others up around us. That we should not just be satisfied with the fact that we know Jesus. And don't get me wrong, praise God that we get to know who Jesus is. Praise God that someone has came into our lives and explained Jesus to us and showed us a path to salvation. But our prayers should also be filled with prayers of intercession for those who've not yet heard the gospel. You know, that's the whole reason we do the My Three every week. It's because we know people around us that don't know Jesus. And we're called to lift those people up in prayer. The Bible teaches us this. That we should be praying for the sick in the world around us. That we should be praying for those who don't have a Bible. That they can get one. We should be praying for those who don't have a Bible in their own language. That it would be translated into their language. We should be praying for those who don't have a believer living among them. Did you know there are areas in this world where there is absolutely no believer at this time? There is no one there to represent Jesus. And sometimes we get shocked when we hear this, that somebody has never heard about Jesus, but there are many areas in our world today that have never seen a Christian and never heard about the love that God has for them. There are even people within our own community that have not heard this message. I've had the conversations. There are people in Carroll County that have not heard that message. They've not heard that he was willing to send his only son to die on the cross for us. We often take that information for granted. And we are called to go to the Lord in prayer and to lift all these people up, not just our own wills, but to lift up the lost around us. You know, I think we forget what a blessing it is as Christians to be called to pray. And that prayer is to serve others. You know, we can find ourselves wondering, how can we serve God? How can we help around the world? I mean, we send missionaries out, right? We support missionaries. We give them our tithes and offerings. We help them out. We send them out. We support them. We support our local churches with our volunteering and giving of our time and resources and everything else. And don't get me wrong, these are wonderful ways in which we can serve God. These are all great things that we can do. But we forget one of the greatest ways that we can serve others is by praying for them. By taking the time to pray. Yet often we look at it as almost too much to ask. Too heavy of a burden for us to carry. How often do you pray for someone after you say you're going to pray for them? Do you make a little note? Do you lift them up daily? Do you follow up? Do you call? How often do you pray for those who don't know Jesus? Are you taking that time to lift up your three that you say you will every day? Do you take the time to lift up our missionaries around the world? Or is this just a second thought, afterthought? Some of this comes because we forget that it's a privilege that we get to pray. It is a privilege that we get to approach the throne room of God and lay these burdens before him. We forget that we can stand guiltless before him because Jesus took our guilt on the cross and made a way for us to be restored to him. That because of that, we can approach it boldly and knowing Jesus is listening to us. That we can petition God. It should not be looked at as a chore of things that we have to do, but we should look at prayer as a privilege of something we get to do. John Piper had this to say about prayer. He said, "Is intentional, regular, disciplined, earnest, Christ-dependent, God-glorifying, joyful prayer a duty? A discipline? He continued and said, "Do I go to prayer meetings Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Friday morning, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday mornings because it's a duty out of discipline?" He said, "You could call it that." Because you see, it is a duty as Christians for us to pray. Not only is it a gift that we get to, it is part of our responsibility. Just as it is a duty for a scuba diver to put on his air tank and mask before he goes underwater. Same as it's a duty for a pilot to listen to air traffic controller. Can you imagine if they didn't do that? Or a diabetic to take his insulin? It's just one of those things that we expect of them. Same as prayer is one of those things that's expected of us as Christians. It's kind of like when you read Winnie the Pooh. Do we expect him to look for honey? Right? He's going to go looking for honey. When we think of pirates, we expect them to be looking for gold, right? It's just something that is expected. And that's the same for us as Christians. You know, oftentimes when our unbelieving friends know that we are Christians, what do? When they're having a struggle or a moment in life, they come to us and what do they ask for? They ask for prayer because the world around us just assumes that we are prayerful people. My question is, are they assuming right about you? Are you a prayerful person? Are you somebody who is that others can come to and know that you will pray for them? Because we have been given a great honor that we get to do that. Or do we just squander this away? Let us remember that prayer is our direct line to God for us as Christians. To live and to breathe is prayer. How can we do the will of God if we're not spending time with him in prayer? If we're not spending time in his word? The passage this morning reminds us that prayer is not meant only to bring our own needs to God, but to serve others in prayer and to do it boldly. Remembering that God answers our prayers and he wants to give us good things as children. Verse 7, we're going to start with verse 7 and break this down a little bit. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." What he's saying here is that we should approach prayer with boldness and not give up. Often we can be scared of prayer. We approach it in a way that we almost shrink away from the idea that God will answer it. Because what if God answers my prayer? What will happen at that moment? We seem to have a fear of God in prayer at times, that we don't want to bug him. That, you know, our worries are too small to bug him. You know, even for myself in my own past, there were times that I question, am I praying for God's will or am I praying for my will? You know, I'm finding that balancing act. But we need to remember that if our lives are in line with God, if we've been saved by the grace of Christ on the cross, we can boldly approach the throne room of heaven. We can seek him and we can go to him and we don't need to fear about that. Because God speaks through us at that moment. We can boldly approach the throne room of heaven. God does not expect us to be shy in our requests for prayer. He does not expect us to be half-hearted when we go in prayer. He expects us to go there with the knowledge that he's going to answer them. He expects us to be confident in front of him. Jesus even tells us that we need to boldly bring our petitions to our Heavenly Father, that we should be ready to expect God's response when we do it as well. Not just when we bring our own needs to him, but when we bring the needs of others to him as well. When you pray for your three, praying that they come to know Jesus, are you praying in a way that you believe that that's actually going to happen? Or are you just kind of like crossing your fingers and having a little wishful thinking? When you're laying that person at the feet of the cross and saying, God, I don't know what to do anymore, but I want them to know you because I know it's going to transform their life. At that moment, do you truly believe that? Or are you half-heartedly taking them and just doing some wishful thinking? You see, when we go to God boldly and humbly in prayer and ask for his will to be done, God answers those prayers. And we can believe in that, and we can be assured of that. In fact, Jesus tells us in verse 8, when he says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So when we say God answers prayers, it means he answers prayers. He's given us assurance of that, and we can be confident in the fact that he hears our prayers and he answers them. That we should go boldly and go with expectation that he's going to answer them. But let me be clear, this is one of those texts that can also be taken out of context. Very quickly taken out of context. If you start praying today for $1 million, it does not mean that God is going to give you that $1 million. You may daydream about that $1 million, but it does not mean that he's going to give you that $1 million. But you're going, wait, hold on, Pastor. Didn't you just say he answers my prayers? Absolutely. He does answer your prayers. We need to remember that he answers his prayers according to his wisdom and his will, not your flesh's desires and preferences. Are you aligned with the Father when you go to him, or are you working underneath your own understanding? There's the difference. You see, God can see things. He can see our hearts, and he can see the future, and he knows what's going to happen if he answers the prayer that you want him to. He also knows that if he answers that prayer for the $1 million, there's a high probability it will destroy your life. And you may wonder, how could it destroy my life? I'm glad you would ask that question. Did you know over 70% of lottery winners declare bankruptcy within a couple years? See, oftentimes obtaining more money leads to careless spending and a desire to get more money, and the greed can be destructive to the lives of the winners and their families. There's reports after reports after reports, and it's a high percentage. Families are torn apart. Things are destroyed. All because of that. It can cause division that wasn't there before, and it can take that joy right out of your life. You see, God is going to answer your prayer in all of them, but sometimes that answer is no. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about a thorn in his side in 2 Corinthians. And he talks about how he pleaded with God to remove that thorn from him, only to be reminded that God's grace was enough in that moment, and that God answers his prayers, and it was a no. But it was so God's will could be done, that God's power could be shown to the world around him, that it was not Paul's strength that worked, that everything got done, but it was God's strength. God never said our life here on earth would be easy. Instead, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. But he is going to bear the way. He's going to guide us. And when we rely on him, we go to him in prayer, we can count that he is going to open those doors. That when you search for him, when you ask and you knock, he's going to take care of the rest. See, sometimes the answer is no, because God knows what would happen if he answered it the way we want him to. He knows that if we answer it how he wants us to answer, how we want him to answer, you may no longer rely on him. You may no longer be able to be a witness to the world around us. Think about it for a minute. If I suddenly won the lottery, several $1 million, and I got up here and I talked about how you got to rely on Christ and his strength through difficult times, how many of you would go, what do you know about difficult times? But in my weakness, God makes me stronger. In your weakness, God makes you stronger. And we have to learn to just trust him. We know that we can trust God to answer our prayers, that he's going to answer them based on his will and what's best for us and the world around us. Because sometimes our struggle that we face, that we're praying for God to remove from us, is the very reason that someone else is drawn to Jesus in and of himself, and has that opportunity to come to know who Jesus is. And it's an amazing thing to witness how God can use those things that we think is evil for good. Jesus continues in verse 9 through 11. Who among you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, God only gives us good gifts. We need to think about that for a second and let that sink in. God only gives us good gifts. We can trust that God will not give us evil things. He will not give us evil things when we ask for good things. It doesn't mean that we won't face evil here on this earth. It doesn't mean that we won't face evil all around us. I mean, we live in a fallen world. We live in a place where Satan has reigned for a very long time. And because of this fallen world, because of the fallen nature of humanity, we will face evil. But we can trust that God will give us things when we ask, and he will only give us good things. We need to remember that God determines what is good and what is evil. You know, one commentator put it this way: it is quite possible that we may ask for something thinking that it's a good gift, when in reality it's an evil gift. And what we think of as an evil gift may actually be a good gift. And God in his wisdom to see things that we can't, so we have to trust him. It's like a child, if he reached up for a hot iron and believed that he wanted it and he deserved it and he cried and threw a fit for that hot iron because they can't see the danger in it, would you be willing to give that child that hot iron? Absolutely not. Even though that child believed in everything that they deserved it at that moment. You can see, he can see the danger that we can't. That's how it works with God. I want you to think back to the cross. We can see God taking something that in our eyes we would call pure evil. It is. He took something that man intended to be evil, his son's death on the cross, and he turned it into the greatest gift of all. It's our way to be restored to our Heavenly Father through his son, Jesus. You see, God can see what we can't see. He can take things and work it for his good. We just have to be willing to open our eyes and trust that he is answering our prayers, knowing that he wants to give us good things, not evil things. And we believe in that, and we trust in that, that God is directing all of it. Let us praise God for that this morning, that we can have that faith. Just as God gives us good gifts for those who call him to our Heavenly Father, we are called to give good gifts as well. If we look over to the last verse of the day, verse 12, and it says, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's the golden rule. It's what we've all come to know. Many of you have heard before. And I find it interesting that it's right here with Jesus talking about prayer. Because I don't think we often give this much thought in our prayer life. You know, this particular concept, though, this golden rule, goes against the world around us, doesn't it? Oftentimes, the world around us is more of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, you punch me, I punch you. That's how I used to work with my siblings. You know, if one of us hit the other, don't tell mom, just hit me real quick. You know, like, let's just get it over with. But that's not what Jesus says. We're supposed to treat others the way we want to be treated. And that includes our enemies. That includes in prayer. And this whole thing goes against the grain of society. And we're called to be different than the flow of the world. We should look different than the world around us. We should look different than the lost in our world. I mean, think about it. We have submitted our hearts to our Savior. We have been transformed and made new in Christ. It is no longer us that live, but that Christ in us. And that should represent it well. And one of the ways that we look different is in our prayer. By taking the time to pray, to boldly go to the Father and ask and know that he gives good things in return. And let me tell you, the world around us looks at the unbelieving world, looks at prayer as a foolish thing. And we look different when we pray. And let me tell you, if prayer is foolish, then praying for others is crazy to them. But as Christians, we are never more countercultural than when we go to the Lord in prayer, pleading with our Heavenly Father to save the souls of the people around us, praying for the lost in our community, pleading that God may draw them in, praying for our enemies, lifting up the struggles of our brothers and sisters in heaven, fully expecting God to answer our prayers. We would want others to do this for us, so why aren't we doing it for them? That's why this part is right in here. We often don't give it much thought, but Jesus is talking about prayer in this context. Not just the idea of giving out a hand and helping them out in the field or someplace like that, but to making sure that we're taking the time to lift others up in prayer, just as we want them to lift us up in prayer, so that we may be unified through Christ. And that's also why we're doing communion this morning. Communion is that thing that's for the rich and the poor, the young and the old. It draws us together in remembrance of who Christ is and what he did up on that cross. It's an equalizer. And this is being practiced around the world by all of our brothers and sisters this morning. May we not forget that. But in closing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together to praise and to worship you. Father, may we approach your throne room boldly. May we remember what your Son did on that cross to make a way for us to do that. Father, may we lift up the lost in our communities. May we not just lift up our own struggles, but others as well. May we learn to bear each other's burdens and to be a helping hand. Father, we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to take communion this morning, in our church, we open up that anyone who is a believer may take communion with us, not just members. So if you're a believer in Jesus this morning, you are welcome to join us. And as we prepared this morning, I want to read something that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 through 29. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Paul makes it clear that we need to go to the Lord in prayer before we take communion. That we need to take that time to check our hearts and make sure that we're in line with our Heavenly Father. That we are praying for his will to be done in our lives and praying for the world around us. So at this moment, I'm going to ask all of us to take a moment, about a minute of silent prayer. Examine your hearts and minds and ask yourself and hand it over to Jesus. Let's go to prayer. Dear Father, we come before you this morning with both heavy and joyful hearts. Father, I pray for each person here that they may know who you are and the love that you have for them. Lord, if anyone here is struggling this morning, may they just leave it at the foot of the cross, knowing that you desire good things for their lives, that no matter what the struggles they may be facing, you are greater than any of them. We place these worries in your hand. Father, we also want to thank you for what your Son did up on that cross for each of us. May we not take it for granted as we prepare to take communion this morning. May we do so in your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who have these, they peel off really nice and easy. And as a reminder, as Jesus and his disciples were gathered together that evening, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He prayed over it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may partake. Next, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may partake. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together in communion, remembering what your Son did on that cross for each of us. Father, may we not have taken this lightly. May we remember the pain and the suffering, but the joy that we get to experience because of this gift. Father, as we go out this week, may we be a blessing to the world around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out this week, may you just remember that you get to approach the throne room of heaven boldly and with full confidence that God hears everything that you ask. And we can take that promise that he will answer our prayers and go out. Go in peace. Have a great day. There are garbage cans on your way out, if you could, for the little communion cups. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.